They're flying and jugs bouncing, and as two more of my captors went down, hideously slashed, I knew there could be only one end to it. Gorham knew it too, the swine, but where I would have turned and run, the spiteful brute was faithful unto death to his damned Ulubar. He cut down one woman, parried a thrust from another, sprang back, shot a look of pure venom in my direction, barked an order, and leapt back into the fight. And to my horror, two of his ruffians broke away from the melee and snatched up my stretcher, but not to carry me out of harm's way. Oh, no, not a bit of it. They threw me on the fire. As you may know, during my service in the Punjab, I had the misfortune to be basted on a gridiron over a slow fire, and bloody disagreeable it was, leaving me singed and smoking, but mercifully underdone. An open blaze is different. 2 or 3 seconds and I imagine you burst into flames unless your stretcher happens to be made of stout bullock hide. But even then, it's only a matter of time before you come all over of a heat, and your one hope is the arrival of the fire brigade at speed. By God, I was lucky. I crashed into the heart of the blaze with a tremendous shower of sparks, and for a heartbeat there was no sensation before the flames began to lick at my feet, which overhung the stretcher. And I'd have been horribly maimed at least if one of the angels, because that's what she was, even if she looked like a female gorilla, hadn't thrust her spear beneath my stretcher and tipped me clear of the blaze with a tremendous heave, which deposited me face down with a seared arse and back, but no lasting damage. She and her mates turned me over, and one of them had the wit to pour the contents of a chagall over me, for I was smouldering painfully. And when they pulled the gag out, I woke the echoes with complaint and gratitude. Mostly complaint, but they very civilly cut me loose from the stretcher, which was uncomfortably hot still. Gorilla Jane helped me to a drink, and they set me with my back to a boulder, where I could take stock of the astonishing scene. There wasn't a gala left standing. The onslaught of these amazing females had overwhelmed them in minutes, and by the excited yells and ghastly chopping sounds, their wounded were being dispatched, with my spear-hurling Diana supervising the slaughter. Her followers were a mixed bag, mostly young and as handsome as Ab women are, but one or two were older and pretty puggish. They were in various states of undress, despite the night chill, some in tunics of Ulubar's cut, others in skirts or trousers, and a few of the younger vain misses flaunted themselves like Diana in flimsy headdresses, cloaks and loincloths, a most fetching rig. Every woman jill of them was fully armed. Amazons, but very different from the Dahomey variety, who were under discipline and drilled like guardsmen. These were irregulars, and, unlike Gezo's Gorgons, they behaved like women. Half of them were chattering round their own wounded, with squeals of concern and comfort. One very young member of the Bare Chest Brigade was weeping buckets and pouring dust on her head while they covered the face of her dead comrade. And suddenly she was up and raving shrilly, plunging her spear again and again into a gala corpse until she noticed a live target hard by. Ulubar Walk. She was bleeding from a dozen wounds, held spread-eagled with Diana apparently interrogating her, when the hysterical stabber ran in and planted her spear in Ulubar's body. In an instant the rest were hacking at her like things demented, while the stabber lay wailing and Diana shrugged and turned away, bored, like. I was physically sick on the spot. The Lord knows I had cause to loathe and fear her for the ghastly revenge she had been about to take on me, and I'll not pretend I was sorry to have her cancelled out. But to see her slashed to pieces, that beautiful body that I'd held in my arms and loved to ecstasy, butchered by these creatures from the pit, was more than I could bear. Just for an instant, I had the vision of her, gleaming wet and naked, laughing on the black rock in Lake Tana, and I absolutely wept and moaned. Oh, I'm vile, all right. We'd travelled well together until her death had become necessary to my survival, and I'd tried to murder her without compunction. Foul work, indeed. But would I rather she was still living and doing what she'd been about to do? On the whole, no. But I still stopped my ears against the awful chopping sounds and eldritch laughter of the executioners. Having known Ulubar, I dare say, I shouldn't have been astonished to encounter Ab fighting women. But no advance warning could have prepared me for these terrifying bitches. Who the blazes could they be? Whose side were they on? And what had I to hope from them? They'd rescued me, no doubt, on the ground that anyone whom their enemies wanted to castrate and roast alive must have something to be said for him. But that didn't make 'em bosom pals.